This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Syria's government met a deadline today. It has completely destroyed the equipment used to produce its chemical weapons. The organization responsible for overseeing the disarming of Syria's chemical weapons program, the OPCW, made that announcement this morning, which leaves the chemicals themselves, more than 1,000 tons of them, to deal with. As NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports, destroying those chemicals will be a lot more complicated.
It's just not as easy to destroy chemical weapons as it used to be. And to understand why, look back to the end of World War II. The U.S., Russia, France, Germany, Japan all had huge stockpiles. When the war ended,
ships filled with this stuff went out of port all over the world.
Paul Walker is with Green Cross International, an environmental group that tracks the impacts of weapons disposal. These ships dumped their toxic munitions overboard.
The rough guesstimate is probably 300,000 ton or more have been dumped in every ocean of the world except the Antarctic.
Thinking was the deep ocean would be a safe place. Turns out it's not. Drums can leak dangerous toxins like mustard agent.
Mustard, when it leaks, can ball up almost like a little jellyfish and roll up on the beaches. And so there have been a lot of cases, particularly in the Baltic, where beachgoers have actually stepped in this stuff and been badly burned.
Burying chemical weapons created just as many problems on land. So in the late 1980s, when the U.S. and Russia decided to get rid of their huge Cold War caches, they tried something else, incineration. But
when you burn something, it doesn't mean it just disappears. You know, it's physically impossible for everything to just disappear.
Incinerators had to be custom built along with chemical scrubbers that would clean their toxic exhaust. It took decades and billions of dollars. Things moved more quickly in Iraq after the 1991 Gulf War. The Allies had to dispose of thousands of tons of chemical agents. Ron Manley was the chemist who oversaw their destruction. Mainly, it was done through incineration. But some rockets containing the nerve gas sarin couldn't be moved, so Manley and his team tried something else.
We created a fuel-air explosion, and these rockets were destroyed in the fuel-air explosion.
In other words, they blew them up. But environmentalist Walker says it's not an option in 2013.
All open burn and open detonation now is prohibited under the Chemical Weapons Convention. Ocean dumping is prohibited. Burial is prohibited.
So what to do in Syria?
My hope is that much of this material will be moved as rapidly as possible into one location and hopefully on a ship and removed from the region.
That was Secretary of State John Kerry speaking to NPR earlier this month. Experts agree it can be done. Virtually all of Syria's chemicals are ingredients, not weapons. They're toxic, but safer to transport. And there's a new technique for disposal. Mix the chemicals with hot water and other chemicals like bleach.
And stir them around like soup for a good period of time. And then you can release and catch all the liquid.
That liquid must be treated, but it's a lot less dangerous. So bottom line,
it can be done. It's done in Europe all the time, in many ways, in France, in Belgium, in Germany, in Italy.
The key will be finding a country willing to accept a toxic shipment from Syria. Diplomacy, not technology, is the challenge. Still, there aren't a lot of other options.
We can't put it on a ship and just have it wander the Mediterranean for the indefinite future.
The international community hopes to finalize its plan for the destruction of Syria's chemicals by mid-November. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.